All right, it's My Car Guru for a Monday morning here, kicking off a brand new month, at least for us. We were not here yesterday. Yep. So here we go with August, and here we go with Lenny Lawson, the car guru. Hey, Lenny.
Yes. Hey, man, how are you? Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, can't complain. It was nice.
We had my wife and I went to Asheville last week and stayed at a really nice bed and breakfast. It's really kind of like a little miniature hotel. It's got 16 rooms, and it's off of Charlotte Street, which is the street that you take off of 240 to go to the Grove Park Inn. Mm-hmm. We used to stay at the Grove Park Inn a lot, but it's just very, very expensive and hard to get into lately. Too many people as well. This little place is kind of tucked away on a side street, and, you know, it's just nice. I mean, that's all I can say. Not as expensive as the Grove Park. But did some antiquing, went to the Tobacco Barn Antique Warehouse. If you haven't been over there, hey, Tim, you've been there. Is there anything like that in East Tennessee?
No, I've not seen anything like it. It's a huge structure, and, of course, it used to be a tobacco warehouse. And you find all kinds of different things in there, from architectural salvage to, you know, signs and, I mean, just all kinds of stuff, things that you might want to decorate your home with. It's quite a place.
Yeah, it really is. And what they do is they lease out space. Do you think those people pay rent, or do they just get a piece of everything that they sell? I wasn't sure how that worked. Everybody has their own little section, and they can, I guess they might pay rent for those little sections. And then I think, like I say, maybe they pay a percentage of what they sell to the house. Mm-hmm. But just massive. And I've been in there many times. I've been bored out of my, bored to tears. But this time they had a lot of really cool stuff. Tara and I bought a stained glass window that was from a house in Philadelphia. And it had made it to an auction in New Jersey. And then the guy who basically was selling it is one of the renters at the Tobacco Barn. And, you know, he bought it at the auction and brought it down to Asheville to sell it. So we bought it. And we're going to hang it in front of one of our windows in our house. It's just beautiful. It doesn't look like something that would be in a church. It's like a cornucopia kind of a thing, a bunch of fruit hanging out of the top of a out of a basket or something. It's really, really purdy. But anyway, we had a good time. There was one thing that I always noticed, that's a very liberal community. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. It's a very artistic, not that all artistic people are go that way, liberal, but still it is. You're right. Yeah. It's a liberal city.
And see a lot of Toyota Priuses and Subarus. So maybe that's if you drive a Subaru, it doesn't mean you're liberal. But you know, there were a lot of I saw some electric vehicles, a lot of Teslas and things like that. It's just different. You know, it's a different kind of place. Most people around here understand what Asheville is and what it's become. Booming place. In the neighborhood where we were staying, there was a bunch of protest signs in everybody's yard. They're protesting the addition of a bunch of apartments that they're building right there off of Charlotte Street. And there were posters basically for both sides and stuck in everybody's yard. So a beautiful architecture there, too. If you're thinking about building a house, go to Asheville and just drive around some of those old neighborhoods, and you'll get some really incredible ideas of things that you can do architecturally that are interesting. I've always been a frustrated architect anyway. I like drawing things. I've designed dealerships and houses and things that I've built. Always enjoyed drawing. Tried to learn how to draw cars, but I never really got that good at it. Some people may look at some of my art that I've done and say, well, that's not bad. That looks like a car. You know, and others say, you need to stick to selling cars, Lenny. So anyway, had an interesting situation on Friday. We got back fairly early on Friday from Asheville and go to G2, which is gateway number two, where we restore cars and work on a lot of old cars. And this guy drives up in a 1950 Ford F1. So this is one of those old style, but for those of you who don't know anything, originally the Ford F1 F-150 that we have now was called the F-1.
Mm-hmm.
And it was developed, I think, the first year was maybe 1948, 47, something like that. But this was a 50 model, beautiful red color, completely restored to a pretty high level. I mean, it's not Concours by any stretch. It's probably, if a Concours restoration is 10 and a piece of junk is a 1, this is probably a 6.5 or 7. So very pleased. And the guy says, well, I'm trying to figure out what the value of this is. And I said, well, why do you want a value? He said, well, I'm thinking about selling it. I said, well, how much do you want for it? And he told me, and I said, you know, you're not too far off. So I went, took it on a test drive, looked it over really good, evaluated like you would expect me to do, came back, made him an offer, and he took me up on it.
Hmm.
So I now have a beautiful 1950 red F1 that is available. I'm going to, you know, like folks, I don't buy a lot of stuff to keep. I try to buy it, improve it, and then sell it. And that's exactly what's happening today. I didn't buy this vehicle, but I talk about bringatrailer.com a lot on this show. And just to, I mean, there's most of the people that listen to this show understand what Bring a Trailer is. But it's the most innovative automotive auction website there is. And it is so well designed and so well executed. It took a while for them to get it this way. It's a 7-day auction. It costs $99 to list your car, but they don't accept everything. They have a kind of a model that they go by. Now, they have gotten a lot more broad as far as what they allow on their auction site. But you're able to set a reserve or to sell it with no reserve. Every auction is a 7-day auction. And I have one that ended last week on a 76 Buick, which is headed to Chicago. And then on the Viper, have a 93 Viper that I do not own, that is a radio show listener and who has become a good friend. And we're selling his Viper, a Hennessy Venom Viper today. It's so close to the reserve, I think it's going to go. So, but this is something that if you like cars, love cars, especially old stuff, if you are thinking about buying an old car and you want to know about values, you know, you can go to Hagerty.com and you can check on values. But if you want to see what, you know, you want to be accurate as far as value, you need to go and see cars that are actually selling. And you can go to bringatrailer.com and you can search a particular vehicle. Let's say that you're interested to see what a 1973 240Z is worth, where you can go and you can look at previous auctions and auctions that have ended recently, and it gives you a fairly good market evaluation, pretty accurate. And that's what I recommend to folks. Or you can just call me, and I'll guide you through the process. I had a wonderful gentleman call me from the Tri-Cities the other day and wondering about the value of his antique car. And we looked at it. He sent me pictures, and, you know, it wasn't what he expected. He was, I think he was a little bit disappointed, quite frankly, in the marketability of his vehicle. But, you know, I think that's one reason why people call me and use me, is because I'm gonna tell them like it is. You know, I don't want to blow smoke. People want to sell something. You know, my job is to help them find the best venue to do that. And sometimes I end up buying it, but I'm always going to pay a market value. I'm never going to try to take advantage of a situation. I mean, I've actually had people price me a vehicle, and I've told them that's not enough. Your vehicle is worth more than that. And ended up paying them more. It's just the way I do business. So if I can help you figure out something, it may be Bring a Trailer, it may be eBay, it may be just local marketing, it may be Hemmings Motor News is a great place to sell vehicles. Mm-hmm. Or I might just be able to find a buyer because I have connections all over the country of people who buy certain things. And some of them buy and hold, and some of them resell. So if you need my assistance, don't hesitate to call. I'll be here all week. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. And you can also get me at Lenny@mycarguru.org. So we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute.
All right, we are back. It's Monday morning on My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson.
Tim, I'm trying to text you the pictures of this this Ford F1, so I don't know if I'll get them to you before the end of the show. You would look good going out antiquing in this thing. People think you were serious.
Yeah, either they think that or they think I was Fred Sanford or something coming out.
No, this is no Fred Sanford truck.
I'd say it's not.
No, this is way over Fred Sanford's mm-hmm. head. You know, sometimes, though, you know, what you wear, what you drive, how you conduct yourself, those can all have an influence on how people treat you. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I tell my salespeople all the time, I said, you want to see a difference. Wear a suit and tie to work one day and just watch how people respond to you differently. Mm-hmm. Your fellow employees will respond to you differently. They'll make comments about it. Your customers will look at you differently. Now, if somebody has an obvious clip on and they've got a bad shirt, you know, and it doesn't match, and you know their shirt's untucked and stuff like that, it doesn't matter if you have a tie on. But you know, you just sometimes that does make a difference. And I do believe in dressing for success. I believe that being a professional means that you look like one as well. So any of you salespeople out there, if you're kind of in a slump, you're selling cars and you're just not doing very well, your customers aren't treating you right, try wearing a tie. I think sometimes that, and it is kind of hot, so I get that. Something else I wanted to talk about today is just to clarify what some of these different vehicle definitions are. Now, this weekend, my F-150 that I've been driving, it's a Lariat 2021 model. It's my demo, and it's still a new vehicle, but I'm putting it on the lot. If anybody wants it, it's a Lariat, loaded up Lariat with sunroof and 3.5 EcoBoost engine. It's really nice. It's got all the driver aids and that kind of stuff. It's which often catches me off guard. I was backing up in the parking lot the other day, and the thing all of a sudden suddenly stopped, and somebody was walking behind me. I had not seen them. And it's kind of a shock, Tim, you know, when that happens. I mean, I'm wondering if I hit something. That's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. But this automatic braking is a great thing. But some of this technology is just a little bit overwhelming. But this vehicle that I'm driving is actually the new hybrid F-150. It's the one that has a 7.2 kilowatt inverter generator on it, which means that basically if you had a way to hook it into your home wiring, you could probably power maybe an air conditioner. You could definitely power your refrigerator. You could power your television, probably some lighting and stuff like that. You would definitely, if you hook this into your system, you'd probably have to cut off some of your circuit breakers. But still, I mean, you can stay in business at home. And this is what was happening when they had all the terrible weather down in Texas. Was that about a year? How long ago was that? Do you remember when all that was going on down in Texas and all the flooding and all those people lost power?
Yeah, I think it was last fall into early winter, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a winter storm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe it was a winter storm. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And folks were, the Ford Hybrid got a lot of publicity because of its ability to generate electricity. I mean, you can basically power a small to medium-sized job site when it comes to all the power tools and charging with this truck. So I just started driving it, and you know, when I was driving to work this morning, I'm real geek when it comes to these hybrids. I like to see how long I can keep it in battery mode. So I drove, I would say at least a third of the time that I was driving from home to the dealership, I was actually operating in electric mode. And it will go in and out of electric mode. If you stop, that engine's shutting off. But it's still sitting there. Everything's working. And if you pull out gently, you can keep it in electric mode. And I drove pretty much all the way down the four lane in electric mode. And that's why this truck will get an EPA gas rating. Now, this is on a full-size F-150, crew cab, you know, probably weighs 5,600 pounds. It'll get 24 on in the city and 24 on the highway. It has about 460 horsepower and about 525 or 530 foot-pounds of torque. So it'll do a great job pulling a trailer. And, you know, if you want to go camping and they don't have any hookups, basically your truck can be a hookup. And, Tim, it'll run for 85 hours in generator mode on a full tank of gas. So basically, if you parked it in your driveway, let's say we had the power was knocked out, you could pull this, you know, close enough to run an electric cord, 240 volt to your power box and power your house for 85 hours or maybe a little bit longer than that. You know, that's comforting to know that. I'm getting a quote this week, and I'll share it with you folks. I'm going to get a quote, and I'm going to install an electric charger for an electric vehicle in my garage. And I'm also going to get a quote on wiring up my my fuse box, or fuse box, my circuit breaker box, so that I can plug in a hybrid truck to it in case we have a power outage. So I'll let you know what that turns out to be. Tim, if you want one of these trucks, just let me know. I'll get one for you and Christina. I'm not worried about you that much, but I want Christina to be comfortable.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that. I think I'd rather have the F1 that you sent me pictures of. I got the pictures.
What do you think of that?
Oh, man, isn't that something? I love the wood panels in the bed of it back there.
Well, see, that's what they did back then. I mean, you could get a steel bed or you could get a wood bed. And but whoever did it, you know, did a first-class job. I mean, it's not the paint is very good. There are some rough edges on it that I'm gonna fix. But the market value on that thing runs from, you know, the low teens all the way up to, for a Concours restored, you know, just a perfect vehicle that looks way better than new, it could be worth as much as $75,000.
It's a beauty. I love the front of it, the grill and everything, the hood, the way it looks there. It's great.
Yeah. So, folks, right now you have basically four choices of electricity or gas. Of course, full gas engine, we all know what that is. The hybrid is basically a vehicle that has an electric motor, and it has a higher capacity battery so that the car can run in electric mode for brief periods of time. As long as you don't press on the accelerator too hard. When you press on the accelerator, it will kick off the hybrid and kick up and turn on the engine, basically. And so it goes back and forth that way. Now, the Toyota Prius, you know, has been the number one seller. My only problem with it is it looks like a jelly bean. You know, I don't know why they always felt like they had to make electric vehicles look goofy. But it you know, gets good gas mileage. You know, you're looking at mid-40s to low-50s in fuel economy on that vehicle. And if you don't care what a vehicle looks like, it's probably a good one to have. Then you have something called a plug-in hybrid. That's different, okay? The plug-in hybrid is something that you can plug into your home or, you know, at a place of work or whatever, and it will charge a much higher capacity battery and will run on full electric mode until it runs low on power. I've seen some of these get 40, 50 miles, Tim, on electric power, you know, before the engine kicks in. Now, anytime you really mash on the accelerator, it's going to call upon the engine to help. But these have higher capacity motors and higher capacity batteries to help, you know, make it run in electric mode longer. And then you have the full electric. And so the full electric would be like our Mustang Mach-E, like so many of the vehicles. When you hear people talking on the news about electric vehicles, they're talking about full D BEVs, which stands for battery electric vehicle. That's like a Tesla Model 3, a Model S, the Ford Mach-E. Some of these new offerings, these companies called Rivian, you may have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are many others. I won't get into all the different companies that are startups and so forth. This is where they say that we're headed in terms of the future. The Biden administration has said that by 2030, I think they want 40% of all vehicles sold to be BEVs, battery electric vehicles. I don't think there's any way that that's going to happen. I think it's a pipe dream. It's a unrealistic goal. And one of the reasons I think it's so unrealistic is people aren't going to be willing to pay for it, and the infrastructure is not going to be there. I can see in 20 years that the infrastructure will begin to be available to the extent that people will feel comfortable driving electric vehicles. We need significant battery innovation in order to make it viable, where you don't have to sit someplace for 40 minutes to charge. If mm-hmm. you can charge it in 10 or 15 minutes, maybe. But anyway, that's where we're headed. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of rundown as far as these vehicles. The plug-in hybrids are great. The hybrid F-150 is phenomenal. I'll give updates on that as I go. I'm going to be tracking the mileage and so forth, and I'll also let you know about what it costs to wire up my house for an electric vehicle. So we'll take our last break, and we'll be back here in just a minute.
And back here for the final moments of My Car Guru on a Monday morning with the Car Guru.
Well, we got our demo unit Bronco in, and did I mention that to you?
Yeah, you were talking about it a little bit last week that you were expecting it in. Yeah,
we got it. We got it, and I've actually driven it, and I am overjoyed with it. I was, sometimes I've been in the car business so long, sometimes I'm let down a little bit with some new vehicles. The anticipation sometimes of an event is far better than the actual reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was uniquely impressed with this vehicle. Now, if you want to see it, come down. We're offering, of course, I mean, we've got to keep this thing for 6 months, and so we're letting folks come down and just drive it. I mean, there's no pressure to buy anything. If you want to order a Bronco after driving it, you can go to gatewayfordbronco.com. It'll take you right in there. You can reserve one. If you have any idea that you want to reserve one, it costs $100 to do it, and of course, I guess you could back out and get your $100 back. It is a refundable deposit. But we're trying to get as many orders in for it, the Maverick, and the Lightning, which is the full battery electric F-150. And so, folks, if you're in the market for one of these, you know, one thing about Gateway you can count on is I'm not going to charge over MSRP for anything. And if you've got the desire to order something like that, you don't have to worry about getting gouged, because a lot of dealers are charging anywhere from $12,000 to $20,000 over sticker for these Broncos, and we're just not doing it. So if it's something that you would like to do, don't hesitate to give me a call, 423-552-2020, or just show up down here at Gateway, and we'll take care of you.
All right. Sounds good. Lenny, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on My Car Guru.